My name is Michael Titus, and I am 13 years old. Today is the 25th of
November,
and I'm speaking with Kevin Anderson, who is my grandfather. We're recording this interview in Dixon, California. Could you tell me what Grampy was like?
My grandfather?
Yeah. No, my grandfather. Great-grandfather. Your father.
So, my dad was a World War II veteran, and he was born in 1919, which is the year that the World War I ended. So, he was just about the right age to go to war in the 1940s. But before all that happened, he grew up during the Depression. I can remember him telling me that he got like a pencil and an orange for Christmas, and he thought that was pretty cool to get that. He grew up in a small town in Utah called Providence. He had a lot of brothers and sisters, and so at any rate, when he got drafted going into World War II, he served in the Army almost all of the war years, but he was very fortunate never having to go into combat. He served as a company clerk and had been given an opportunity to transfer into another unit about partway through the war when he was in Hawaii. He decided to go ahead and do the transfer. And about a few weeks later, the old unit he was in was shipped overseas into combat. The new unit that he was in stayed in Hawaii. He served in the United States the whole time, never did have to go overseas. He got married right toward the end of the war to his wife, Eva Faye Israelson. And they had 6 kids. I was one of them. Anything else you want to know about that?
Yeah. Could you tell me how he met his wife?
So, he was going to Utah State University, and he had a friend named Floyd Israelson, who ended up, he was the brother of Eva Faye, Floyd introduced the two of them, and that's how they met.
That's interesting. So you told us that he was the company clerk. Could you tell us what that job entitled?
He basically used a typewriter to take notes and type orders and do all of the kinds of office assistant kind of work that you would do today. So he worked for different officers who would tell him what to type and what tasks to do to make their lives easier.
What was his favorite motivational phrase or figure?
Favorite motivational phrase. I don't remember a particular phrase, but he was, I think, highly motivated to do the right thing and to be honest. His name was Nathan Hale Anderson. He was named after the patriot Nathan Hale from the Revolutionary War. But I also think that he had a lot of in common with Nathan from the Bible, who said he was without guile. So he didn't try to trick you or do anything else. He was very plain spoken and honest, and didn't have guile, didn't try to trick people at all.
Yeah, what did he do for a living after he returned from the war?
So he went to school at Utah State originally to become a social worker and help people that way. A social worker is somebody who helps orphans or others, people that are dependent upon the state or need help, and he would go help them, but he decided that that was not something he liked to do, so he became a teacher. Got his teaching certificate and teaching degree, and taught in elementary school, different grades in elementary school, for about 30, 35 years before he retired.
So what grade did he teach? Like, did he have a specific grade, or did he just jump around to different?
Each year that he would do a different one, anywhere from first grade up to sixth grade. He taught all of those grades over the different years. In the later years, he became kind of a specialist in what they called remedial reading. So he would help all of the kids that didn't learn how to read well or couldn't read, and he would teach them in small classes or individually and help them learn how to read.
How did you think of him, and what perspective on what type of man was he?
Well, I said that a little bit earlier, where I said he was a man without guile. He was always very helpful and friendly and a hard-working man, and I really honored him and thought a lot of him. For that, he was not very athletically inclined, but he did love to read. Taught me how to learn how to love reading. He was always very supportive of whatever I wanted to do, and was always thought first about his family and tried to make sure that he could make a living and take good care of all of us as we grew up.
So what did he like to read?
He liked to read church books a lot. And so he'd read the Bible. He would read the Book of Mormon. He was a Mormon a member of that Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so then he would read other magazines and books that were by church leaders or about church history, things like that.
That's cool. When was he born, and what did he do as a child?
He was born in 1919, on December 5th, I think. Yeah. And he worked for farmers in the area as he was growing up, but he would get just like, if he got 50 cents a day or a dollar a day for working, that was a lot of money because they were in the Depression. And then he learned how to plaster, which is using what they call a hawk and a trowel, to put plaster on the sides of houses. That's what they used to use before they had stucco. They'd also use inside the house, instead of sheetrock, they'd put chicken wire and plaster on there. And he had used that as a second job all of his life during the summers when he wasn't working at school. He would plaster foundations because they still needed to put a smooth finish on the cement foundations of houses when they were newly built, and he would do that to supplement his income.
Could you tell me some stories about mischief or trouble he got in as a child?
I didn't ever hear any stories about what kind of mischief or anything that like that he had trouble with or got into. I do remember he talked about that they had a steep hill by his house there in Providence where they lived, and he would talk about that during the winters that they would get sleds and go sliding down the ice on the road down a steep hill. And I can remember that he took us kids. One thing he liked doing all his life was going sledding or taking inner tubes and going down the hills. And he would take us up in the mountains during the winter and find a hill to go sliding down. I can remember one year that there was a steep hill and there was a river, a small stream at the bottom. And if you got going too fast, you're likely to end up in the stream, and so we'd have to slide off or tip off before we got into the water. And I do remember that they took the hood off of a car and turned it upside down, and we'd have several of us sit in that metal hood off of a car and slide down the hill. And that one would really get going fast, so we'd have to all try and stop it before we went into the creek.
Where would they get the hood from? Whose car?
I don't remember. It was just some old wrecked car, you know, that they took the hood off of it.
And what area was that in where you would go down that hill?
That was up in an area called Richmond. It was not too far from where we grew up in Lewiston, Utah.
So what else did he do with you guys as children?
You know, we didn't do a whole lot of things that I can remember. I remember that he used to take us to parks, and we'd go on picnics. But I don't remember a lot of places or things that he used to do with us.
Yeah. Could you tell us some stories from your childhood as well?
Well, I grew up in Lewiston for a while. I grew up, we didn't have any TV in the house. But we had a library that was only a couple blocks away. And I learned at an early age to read and to really love reading. And so I would go to that library two or three times a week and bring home armloads of books and read them as fast as I could. I read all of the Hardy Boys books and the Nancy Drew books and all kinds of books about mountain men and Indians and adventure stories, and Zane Grey, who was an author of Westerns. So I really enjoyed doing that, but I also liked to play baseball, softball, basketball. I learned how to play tennis when I was 11 or 12. And I was never really good enough to make high school teams, but I played on church teams and really enjoyed doing that. When I was a teenager, I started working at what was called Buttercup Dairy Farm, which was where my grandfather owned a dairy farm, and he had all of his, gave a chance for all of his sons and grandsons to grow up and live and work on the farm. And I remember that he bought about 40 or 50 Shetland ponies that he would let all the kids in the neighborhood and all the grandkids ride. And I can remember that me and some of my cousins would, we were supposed to be working on the farm, and we'd sneak off and go put a bridle on the on these Shetland ponies, and we'd head for the hills because we lived right by the mountains, and we'd, so we'd go up and spend the day in the mountains, and we'd go past some irrigation canals that had pretty cold water in them. We'd go skinny dipping in the canals on the way up and on the way back from the mountains, and then we'd go home at the end of the day and take our medicine from our uncles, who would get mad at us for skipping out when we were supposed to be working.
So what would you do for work on the farm?
It was a dairy farm, so we'd get up and milk the cows twice a, early in the morning about 5 o'clock, and then again about 5 in the evening. We had automated equipment at that point, so we'd milk about 100 or 120 head of cattle, of dairy cows. We'd then have to plant and harvest all of the crops related to a dairy farm operation, alfalfa, corn, other things that you would use to feed the cattle. And then we'd have to haul the manure and feed the cows and do all the other things that you would do on a dairy farm of that nature.
What was your favorite thing to do for work on the farm?
Probably hauling hay, because it was, you know, it was hard work. It was fun throwing bales up onto a big truck and stacking them up in a way so that they wouldn't fall off, and then hauling them to a barn, and then getting them into the huge haystacks in the barn. And then all the cousins and I would play in the hay and in the straw and things like that. So that was pretty fun.
Do you have any close calls or near-death experiences while working on the farm?
No, but I did smash my toe once. It's still pretty much smashed, but it doesn't bother me any. So I was on a tractor and pulling a 2-ton grain grinder when I was trying to unhook it, and it had a built-in jack on it that was supposed to hold up the tongue of the grain grinder, and I pulled the bolt out to unhook it from the tractor, and the jack on the tongue of the grain grinder collapsed, and that whole thing fell down onto my foot, and it was so heavy I couldn't pull my foot out from underneath it. I had to yell for help, and a cousin came up, and he couldn't lift it off either, and so he went and got a big 2x4 piece of lumber and put it under there and used it as a lever to lift it up far enough so I could get my foot out from under it. I went down to the, didn't hurt or anything, and but it felt, I don't know, it just was funny. So I went down to the shop where my uncles were, my dad was there, and I took my shoe off, and it still, nothing looked bad, there was no blood or anything, but I took my sock off, and there, most of my toes were broken. I didn't know that until later, but the, on my big toe, there's a little flange that stuck out from underneath the this big grain grinder, and it had hit, smashed right on my big toe, and smashed it flat as a silver dollar, and it wasn't bleeding because it was squished shut, basically. And so then my dad had to take me to the hospital, and I think he was more nervous than I was, but they were able to eventually save the toe as opposed to amputating it. But it still looks pretty funny, got a big hole in it and still kind of smashed flat, but doesn't bother me any, and the grandkids all like to look at it.
Could you tell us more stories like that, like the lightning tree one?
So, when I lived in Lewiston when I was growing up, I can remember this lightning tree didn't actually happen to me, it happened to my oldest brother, but we were over playing in the park and there was a big thunderstorm coming in our direction. It started to rain, and my mom came out and yelled at us to come back to the house. And fortunately, my older brother and I obeyed us. He had been climbing in this big tree over there, but he came down promptly and headed for home. And just minutes later, there's a huge crack and lightning hit that tree that he had been in. So I was used to use that as an example. You better listen to what your mom tells you and obey quickly, because you could get in trouble otherwise. And when I, one winter, we had a lot of snow and it was cold. And we had ice on the roof, and icicles started forming on the side of the roof. And so my mom and dad were going somewhere, and they told me to stay inside the house, and whatever I did, I should not go out and knock those icicles off, because I used to like to go out with a rake or a shovel or a hoe or something, and I'd reach up and knocked those icicles off, and I thought that was kind of fun. But as soon as they left, I went out and started knocking those icicles off, and one of them fell down and hit and split my lip, and I still have a big scar from that. So that was an example of what not to do.
Did any of your older brothers or sisters or younger brothers and sisters have any stories like that?
Not that I can recall. I do remember that my younger brother Travis was pretty stubborn, and my dad didn't get angry very often. But he did on occasion. I can remember one time that something that Travis was doing, he told him to stop it, and he wouldn't stop it. And so he took him downstairs into our room, and he said, "You stay here in this room and don't come out." So he'd take Travis in that room and sit him on the bed, and then he'd start walking out, and Travis would walk out right behind him. And so funny, he said the worst thing he ever used to say was, "Oh, pot liquor." I don't know why that was his swear word, I guess. And so eventually just locked him in the room, and I think finally Travis settled down. I do remember the one time that my dad said, "Oh, pot liquor," to me, and that was where all his kids slept in this little room above the garage. He had to climb some steps from the rest of the house, and it took you up into that little room above the garage. And I used to like to stand at the bottom and have a little rubber ball, and I'd throw this ball to the top of the stairs, and it'd go bump, and then it'd bump down the stairs, and I'd catch it, and then I'd keep doing that. It started annoying my dad, so he told me to stop that, and I didn't stop it. So funny, he came in and grabbed the ball and said, "Oh, pot liquor." And that, I can remember still, he got mad at me when he was doing that. I do remember one other time I was told about. I was too young to remember it, but he was, for some reason, up in the attic above the front room or above the living room. He was trying to fix something or do something, And my mom was sitting down on the couch in the living room beneath the ceiling where he was. And he was trying to step on the 4x4s or 2x4s or 2x6s or whatever that held up that ceiling. And he misstepped and crashed his leg through the ceiling, and it knocked some plaster and stuff down onto my mom and this little baby. And so she was scared and angry, and my dad was up there with his leg poking through the ceiling going, "Oh, pot liquor."
Could you tell me how your grandfather or somebody got his glass eye and what he would do to intimidate the grandchildren with it?
So this is a story that my mom used to tell us about her grandfather. And she said that they grew up on the farm too, and that her grandfather, when she was little, and her grandfather was running a farm that her dad was working at as well, that he'd take the kids out and have them hoeing the weeds in the garden or doing whatever task he had him working at. And her grandfather had a glass eye. He'd lost his eye in some sort of accident. And he also had bent one of his fingers so that it had a crook or a hook in it, so that it was a kind of a crooked finger. And he would reach in behind his glass eye and pop that glass eye out into his hand, and then he'd sit it on his fence post nearby, and he'd point that glass eye toward where they were working, and he'd say, "I'm watching you, and you better keep working while I'm gone." And he could go off and do whatever he needed to, and the kids were scared. They kept working because they thought Grandpa was watching them with his glass eye.
Could you tell me about your mother?
She was a very sociable, friendly person, had lots and lots of friends. I can remember that whoever it was anywhere pretty much in the valley that somebody mentioned to her, "Do you know so-and-so?" And she'd say, "Oh yeah, he or she is my good friend." And she'd be on the phone all the time. I do remember that I got mad at her when I was a kid. I used to always hate the telephone because she was on the phone talking to somebody and she would never listen to me when she was on the phone. Or I'd say, Mom, even if it was an emergency, she wasn't about to stop and talk to me until she got off the phone. So ever since then, I've just never liked I never liked phones, didn't like talk on them, didn't like people around me talking on them very much at all either.
What did she do as a little girl?
She grew up on a farm, had a bunch of brothers and sisters, and hoed beets, and she played softball. She was a good athlete, and she had a brother, a little younger than her. When they were growing up, they both got measles, a childhood disease, and they were supposed to stay quarantined and separate from the rest of the family. And so they're up in this bedroom. They're still sick, and they're supposed to stay there and just stay in bed and be quiet. But instead, they both got up and are jumping on the bed and doing stuff like that. And I think partly as a result of that even though my mom got better, her brother got scarlet fever, which is can be a complication that comes from measles. And he ended up dying, and she always was a little guilty about the fact that she had thought she was contributed to him getting sicker than he than he was because they were up jumping on a bed and doing stuff they shouldn't.
Do you have anything else that you would like to share?
I don't think so. I just really enjoyed growing up in small towns in Utah. I had great families, great parents, and brothers and sisters and family, and hope that you know, my kids and grandkids can enjoy their remembering their childhood and growing up as fondly as I do.
Thank you for your time and being willing to share that with us.
You're welcome.